Good morning, everyone. It is 9:15, so we will start the Finance Committee. First is a call to order, which has been done. Second, approval of the minutes from the September 7th, 2021 meeting.
So moved.
Second.
I hear a motion and a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Nope. Motion passes 4-0. We will move on to number three, public comments. Is there anybody here from the public that would like to make a comment? I don't see anybody. So we will move on to item number four, overview of town's general fund fund budget. Marcy?
Yes, sir. The town's operating fund is the general fund. As required by all funds, it is a balanced fund, meaning our revenues and our expenditures do balance. This fund supports our day-to-day activities of the town and all its departments. The budget is adopted annually and typically amended if needed once a year. It is done by ordinance, so therefore it's two readings of the ordinance for the amendment and a public hearing. With the general fund, the town also adopts other funds. We have the capital asset fund, which has our CIP. It has our comprehensive maintenance plan, CMP, and it has our asset replacement plan. We also have the debt service fund, which houses all our general obligation, revenue, loans, and our lease purchases. And then the state accommodations tax fund, which houses the state's accommodations tax, and we use it per state code. So for 2022, what we did is we adopted a budget in May, effective July 1. And in the budget ordinance, it did pre-approve certain carryovers of projects that were not complete. So this looks slightly different from what was adopted, but this is our current budget. It's $95 million. And you can see on the revenue side that the largest revenues come from property and other taxes, which include sales tax, and licenses and permits. In fact, they account for about 75% of our revenue.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask a question? Go further. On the licenses and permits, I presume that includes business licenses. And I know there was an issue where we had to change our schedule. Are we doing well now that we've gone past a difficult time?
Yes, sir. So our business license collection was in July. We did reduce our budget because what they paid in July would be based on their revenues earned in 2020, which we know had a pandemic. We have met our budget for the year in business licenses. They did not take quite the hit that we anticipated. Some of that is due to new businesses, and some is the revenues were solvent. But the new business license, we've been sending out the new ordinance to all our businesses, that it goes into effect January 1, and people will need to pay their business license by April 30th this year, and not July. So the state is requiring us to do it a couple months early.
Okay, that's why I wanted to ask a question. We did all right for 2020, but now we're into a new year, and we'll start receiving those funds as the announcements go out January 1, I presume.
So we are doing a mass mailing. We'll also in December do an email blast to all our businesses. We're sending out about 10,000 notices. In January, we'll once again send a letter out. February is when the renewals will go out, so people will get their new renewal forms, and they would be due April. So we're trying to make sure that no one's surprised by it. If they have any questions, that they have plenty of time to ask. That's why we're sending out the whole ordinance. Again, if I remember correctly, 65% of our businesses stayed in the same class, so the only change would be based on their gross receipts, and our rate schedule did decrease slightly. And then about 35, some of which went up in rate classes, which means their taxes would be slightly higher, and some which went down, which would be lower. So we want everyone to have as much notice as they can about the changes coming.
How does receiving those funds, like basically two business license year funds within the same budget year, how does that affect this whole process?
So for a business, they paid in July based on what they did in 2020. Mm-hmm. Now they'll pay in April based on what they did 2021. So for them, they're still paying taxes once a year. For us, because our fiscal year is July 1 through June 30th, and we have received our revenue for this year, we, starting January, the revenue we'll collect will be based on the new ordinance, and we will receive that this fiscal year. So it does kind of act as receiving the revenues twice in once a year. In 1 year. From hereafter, we will only receive it in April. It's just the transition because of our fiscal year, which doesn't happen to every municipality. It does happen to hit twice in 1 year for us, but not for the taxpayer.
Okay. So those funds that are collected this April that are, again, collected in FY 2022, are those mostly going to just be put in a reserve, or how does that work?
Yeah, I can answer that. That's our insurance policy, more or less, for the 4 or 5 extremely large transportation projects we have going, and stormwater projects, either the Royal Avenue project or the Edwards Park project that's yet to be started. The idea is, and if you're agreeable to it, if we're able to make it through these transportation projects in Royal Ave, the big ticket items, and without using some of these funds, then that could jumpstart the construction of Edwards Park or another priority if council chose to spend it somewhere else.
Okay.
Marcia. Yeah. Marcia, can you remind me what local, state, and federal revenue were?
Yes, so federal revenue, it may be a grant. Also, where we see federal revenue coming in is when we get reimbursed for FEMA incidents. In fact, this year, and it's not a lot because we don't anticipate a lot except for grants, but we just received Dorian funds, and I couldn't even remember when the storm was. That was Dorian. Wow. So federal tends to be grants and FEMA.
Like 2018.
We just received those monies. The state money is going to be, again, grants, but it's also the local government fund that the state had. At one point, the state stopped allowing municipalities to raise certain funds, and they said, let it come to us, and then we'll fund you. Okay. And so that amount of money comes through them. We have had issues with it, but that's the majority of our state money.
And that'll go up next year.
Yes, sir.
It's based per capita. So as our population has increased, we'll see some more revenue from that. So it's a good thing.
And then local?
Oh, the local revenue. That could be, I'm thinking, I even brought my, let's see. Recreation is in charges for services. Local revenue is going to be those odds and ends that we collect. The money that we collect, we allocate. If it's a fee, it's going to go usually in local revenue. If it's charges, like recreation, it's going to go charges for services. And then everything else, the licenses, business license, and the franchise fees go under licenses building permits. Go under licenses and permits.
Licenses and permits, that makes sense.
Right.
Local would be just as miscellaneous.
Sale of our assets. When we do our replacement plan, if we sell an old fire truck, would also be under that.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
That makes sense. Thank you.
No, I was like. So the general fund expenditures are reflected here by departments. So you can see, again, the day-to-day operations, and these are the different departments and their current budget. Two of them in there that you don't think of as a department. One is non-departmental, and that's the non-specific kind of town-wide catch-all budget, if you will. It has like where all of our insurance payments are in there. We fund our community investments in there. So it's not a specific department, but just kind of a place for these that don't belong anywhere else. Now the transfers, that $14.6 million, what that does is that's a a department, if you will, that transfers money from the general fund to two locations. It's either going to go to our debt service fund. Our debt millage cannot cover the cost of our lease purchases, so that's in there, plus a little bit of general fund money as well to help with general obligation bonds. And then also in there is the money that goes to the capital fund. Again, the capital fund has that comprehensive maintenance plan. So our facilities, our vehicles, all of that. Plus in that transfer to the capital fund is our asset replacement plan. So we are replacing our vehicles, our technology, other pieces. They're all housed in there. So that, other than straight departments, you're going to see those. And in looking at that pie chart, 47% does go to public safety. So fire and police make up 47% of our expenditures.
And if you add in public services, you're getting close to half. And then if you add in your transportation, municipal court, which we have to run, I mean, you're quickly into 66 to 75 cents on every dollar. And that's not including the capital transfer. So at the end of it all, there's not a lot that left over for other things.
What's plan again?
Plan is planning land use and neighborhoods, and with the restructuring, the planning department. Yes, ma'am.
I thought it would be. I'm surprised. I thought it'd be bigger. You know, that's not that big.
And with the restructuring, some of that did go under EDS, the engineering and development services, the building inspection and building inspection component.
And general government includes administration, human resources.
Council expenses.
Council, okay.
HR.
Okay.
Communications, okay. Emergency management, risk management.
Okay.
Is that somewhere where the public can see it? It is, it's on the webpage, I'm sure. That's super cool.
And that's all I have for just the general fund.
If we could go back, sorry, real quick. Where does our fund balance stand?
So in the revenues, you would see that we, under all other revenues, you're going to see where we, let me make sure it's in there, okay, that we use a bit of our fund balance each year. There's a fund balance policy that council has, and what it says is each year you look at your unrestricted fund balance, and based on the calculation you send half an amount that equals half of what's there unrestricted. So what we do each year is we try to anticipate what that's going to be, and we send some money. It goes to infrastructure, so that's stormwater and transportation. Mm-hmm. Our big mid-year adjustment is after we get our actual audit. We go ahead and true up to make sure our calculation as of June 30th is what it should be. At that audit, which we will present to you in January, they will talk about what is left unrestricted. So fund balance, unless we use it, remains unrestricted and is not shown here. This only shows fund balance that's being utilized. So what they'll present to you is as of June 30th, you had this fund balance, and this is the amount that's being used in your fiscal year 22 budget.
So where does our not shown unrestricted fund balance stand? Like, where is that savings account, basically? Or what does that stand at?
So it's on our balance sheet, so it doesn't show up in our budget. It stays on the balance sheet. And, gosh, you know, I just looked at the presentation that's coming up in January, reviewing it. It seems like 40 million, maybe, yeah. Right at 40. This year, it kind of stayed the same. We didn't really add to it. We didn't really take away from it, but we still do our calculation to send money out. But
And as a reminder, if we have savings at the end of the year, which we've had, thankfully, for as long as I can remember, we split it. So half of it will go to the general fund. The other half gets split between transportation and stormwater projects. So we send savings from the general fund operating to capital. And so we continue to do that, pull down where we need to, and then recall some of that money is in reserve to pay lawsuit settlements and things like that. We have a big one sitting out there currently. So.
probably want to just talk more about that maybe at a future meeting, if that's cool. But I'll get about that.
All right, we can move on to the next one.
So I wanted to talk with you about the 22 budget process. That's the budget we're currently in. And then I wanted to also talk about 23 and how it might be slightly different. So in January, we presented at the retreat kind of where our financial position was. Because if you remember at that time, we're 7 months into a pandemic. So we really didn't do a lot, but what we wanted to do is make town council aware where we were sitting. As is typical, at the end of March, we pull the budget committee together, which is a committee of the whole, and the town administrator then presents his budget. In this case, he also presented the CIP at the same time. The very next committee, each standing committee reviews the line item of the budget for their departments, if you will, like transportation committee would review transportations. Right after that committee, we go ahead and do our public hearing as required by state code and the first reading of the budget ordinance. This allows the citizens to come in and comment on it and any thoughts that they may have. The budget committee gets together again because what they do is they receive the recommendations from each standing committee. It goes back to the budget committee, and the budget committee then makes a recommendation to town council on what all the committees have said, and they pull it together and they make the final recommendation. At the next town council meeting, it would be the second reading, and they would have the public, no, we've already had the public hearing, I'm going backwards. They would adopt the budget and the CIP. And typically the CIP is adopted by a resolution saying, here's our plan. But in the budget and with the budget is the first year funding. We have planned out the funding, but you formally adopt the first year funding with the budget, and it's typically done in May. So that is how we did our current year. Slightly different is our kind of our proposed process. So in the month of November, some kind of the behind the scenes, in the month of November, we sent out to the departments for the capital improvement program. Tell us what's out there, what you've heard from your council people, what you would like to include. All of those items came in last week. And so for the month of December, we'll be doing a couple things. What we'll be doing is we'll be reviewing them and ranking them, working with departments and the town administrator on each of the projects. At the same time, we're in there doing our first true depth analysis and trending of our revenues. What happens with government revenues is the first couple months, July and August, those revenues are typically accrued back to the prior year. So when I'm sitting in December, I have September, October's, and I haven't received November's yet. So we're really light into getting revenues. So we're attending economic summits to understand what the economy's doing. We're looking at ours. We're talking with all of the people in the town that have collections to understand what's going on. So in December, department managers now have their requests for operating budgets. So they're working on what they would like in their operating budget. In January, we go ahead, we pull together the town administrator's proposed CIP. So that was different. Last year, he presented it in March. We're back to the typical January. We pull it together for him, and then he would present it to town council at their retreat. So at the retreat, you're going to hear about our audit. You're going to hear about our capital. All of these things will kind of give you a full picture of what is out there and what's being requested. And again, it's done by resolution. It doesn't mean that it can't change. It doesn't have to be done there. At some point during the process, y'all adopt the plan. Then in March, once again, the town administrator would present his budget to you. You've already had the CIP. You now get the operating budget. And during committees, you're looking at kind of everything. You're looking at what they want operating, what kind of assets we're replacing, what's kind of in the CIP's first year. At the same time, all the way up through March, we continue every month to refine our projections on revenues. As more data becomes available, as we see what's happening in the economy, it works and it helps us give a good revenue forecast. In April, once again, the committees will go through it. Town Council will have a public hearing for the public and first reading of the ordinance. And then the budget committee will get all that data back to them from the committees. They'll make their final recommendation, which may or may not amend the, at the second reading, the budget ordinance. And we begin the year July 1st.
And if it's, we would like to have another review of our financial position at the retreat in January, not only for where things stand from the grand financial picture, but also what the next year budget looks like, even what, if there are some big capital items out there. If we can do that first at the retreat, that is, at least in my opinion, an excellent primer into all the other agenda items you may discuss that day, referendums, other things. So we'd like to do that again and give you that baseline of how things look at that moment, as I said, which I think would help with other discussions.
Couple of, does anybody have any questions or anything? Okay, on the CIP process, so that, when we receive the CIP with all the lists of projects in different departments or areas or whatever we want to call them, and then they're ranked, when those are re-ranked every year,
yeah,
is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, and we typically receive those when?
Usually along with the budget document in March.
Okay.
But we will have that ready for you as early as January, according to the chart up there. So the January through March period would be the time that you'd see the document. You'll see how we saw the capital projects, mm-hmm. and that's the opportunity, really, all the way up until final approval of the budget. You can make adjustments. By the way, you can make adjustments anytime, anyway, right? But you've got a several-month period where if you think we haven't prioritized like you think it needs to be, then that's a time for adjustment. What we've seen, we've been in this unique position, I think, as a community where we've been at the same time having to build a community because of growth while maintaining a community. And so it's no surprise that after synthesizing the projects through our ranking system, you would see that most of the time it's your heavy transportation, heavy infrastructure projects are floating to the top for the limited money that's available because we're trying to build that community, right? Catch up. Likely over time, as our population increase slows, normalizes, starts to cap out to some extent, and we've funded those major transportation, stormwater, heavy infrastructure projects, that'll start to slow a little. You'll always be in the maintenance business for sure, and there will be side projects that have to be built as a normal part of a community. But over time, I think what will happen is there'll be less of those projects and more of the, just my words, because I can't think of any better right now, more of the softer quality of life projects start to rise to the top. You know, recreation's typically, historically, had a hard time competing with the hard infrastructure. But those, there'll be less of the hard infrastructure. Some of those will catch up. Stuff like senior centers and things like that will rise up more quickly.
Okay. When is the audit prepared each year?
It's almost complete, and it'll be presented in January.
Okay. Is that presented to this committee, or is that presented at the budget committee, or where is that presented?
We present it to the finance committee and to town council.
Okay. Final question. What is our current bonding capacity, and where does that stand?
We have that actually for the discussion on, give us a moment to bring it up. We have it ready for the recreation discussion at PJL and REC.
Okay.
So if Marcy, you think if she can find it, we've got it. It's a slide on it.
Let's see, I've got recreation.
There it is.
There it is. So the 8% capacity is by state code, actually the Constitution, that says, look at a municipality's assessed property value. Ours is just over a billion now. The state mandate 8% makes it 88 million. And then you remove all outstanding debt subject to that limit, which is 56 and a half million. So right now, the town without a referendum could borrow $32.1 million. And that would max out our capacity. Anything above that would require a referendum. And again, if there's already referendum debt out there, that's why it says outstanding debt subject to the limit. It would not be subject to it. Revenue bonds would not be subject to it. So, but that is currently what our capacity is estimated. We'll get our new, we're estimating what we're, as of June 30th. We're estimating what our assessed values is.
Yeah, because that's what the new, that was with the reassessment,
yes.
Correct?
Yes,
and then
correct.
New properties that come online.
Correct.
Okay.
So we would look at it at the time. If you said, let's borrow, we would go get the actual number. But we believe $1.1 billion to be our current assessed.
So the residential properties are reassessed every 5 years.
Correct.
Is it commercial properties every 5 years as well, or is that?
They do a full reassessment every 5 years. Only residential are subject to the 15% cap if they haven't transferred in the past 5 years.
Okay. All right, cool. Any other questions or comments or anything? All right. Marcy, thank you for that great presentation.
Thank you.
And I'm excited to be in this position. I think we all are, and yes. We look forward to working with you over the next couple years.
Yes.
All right. With nothing else, we will adjourn. Thank you. Thank you.